Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And that's tremendous advice from Solomon here in Proverbs chapter 1. We need to take heed to the Lord's voice. And when we are obedient to his voice, then the Lord can bless us. This week, the Lord has been good to me. I have had some significant answers to prayer. Burdens have been lifted, and I have felt definite help in the study and ministry of God's Word. Our Sunday morning series in our church on John's Gospel has been a delight to my own soul. I have learned that Christ for us is our salvation, while Christ in us is our sanctification. John 14:23 in particular is one of the delightful promises of the Lord to our souls, and I have fed upon it and rejoiced in it. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. To meditate on the Lord coming to us, and to pray for the Lord to truly come into our hearts, to abide, is sweet to the soul. I recommend my recent sermon on that, which you can find online. Just go to our website. The hymn, Constantly Abiding, comes to mind. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh, so kind. I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. All the world seemed to sing of a Savior and King when peace sweetly came to my heart. Troubles all fled away, and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. One has said that every Christian should sing until you want to pray, and pray until you want to sing. Until your faith makes you want to sing, it hasn't entered your soul. The Lord promises us a new song in our hearts. Even by the rivers of Babylon, the city of their captivity, the children of Israel could sing the Lord's songs. And so shall we, even in this worldwide pandemic. Whatever is before us, take your burden to the Lord and praise Him for Christ your Savior. He is the one who will carry us through every situation. So look to Him today. In the news this week, our provincial health officer has stated, "This, I believe, is the end of our beginning of the pandemic. However, we all know it is a long way off, and there are serious disruptions ahead, both medically and in the workplace. There is a hard road ahead. How shall the Christian respond so that our testimony will shine for the Lord?" Well, let's dwell on Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." This world is filled with discontent. Even in the throes of material abundance, people find no peace in this world. Truly, the Bible is correct that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. So it is important that we come to a place of true contentment, that is, to be satisfied with our lot in this life, and see our every blessing as from the hand of our Heavenly Father. The root of the problem is greed. Paul raised the issue of covetousness, which is greed and a bitter spirit toward those who have, and toward God for what we don't have. To go on that path always leads to greater degrees of whining. No Christian should be known as a whiner. The command is, be content with such things as ye have, whatever your station or even your wages. A Christian at work should not be the shop steward to harp at the company for everything and give no appreciation for anything. The Lord Jesus told the Roman soldier to be content with his wages. And when Paul gave this command to Christians, he himself was a prisoner under Roman house arrest, chained night and day to a soldier. He had no privacy, not many comforts, and could have complained about a whole load of things. In contrast to the whiner, Paul took up the analogy of the soldier to exhort Christians to endure hardship as good soldiers of Christ. No soldier will excel with a chip on his shoulder, and no Christian will grow in usefulness to God who constantly whines and complains. The godly man or woman will rather say, "I have more than I deserve, and I have more than many others. How can I complain? For I am only a sinner saved by grace." In these times, it is good to pray for a spirit of contentment. Indeed, it is a must. Thank God for a home in heaven and for the home we have on earth. Thank God for your health and the things that money could never buy. Paul clinched his point by reminding his readers of the Lord's promise to never leave us nor forsake us. He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The point is that to have the Lord with us is worth more than silver or gold or any earthly luxury. This is very much a matter of choice. The rich man never has enough, and the poor man who is content with such things as he has cannot be happier. I had a man tell me that he had been rich, but lost it all in one day, and it was the best thing that ever happened to him, because he came to Christ as his Lord and Savior. We sang that hymn, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Would you recite that with me one more time? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Oh, let that be our testimony and our inner experience of true contentment, because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now we're going to have Alan McGill to sing for us, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I trust that today the Lord has ministered to your heart through his word, through these items in song. We're going to have another hymn by Alan McGill at the end of this short message. We're turning to Isaiah 42, where God says, Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And here we have one of the wonderful features of the book of Isaiah, is a savior for the world, for all peoples, of all nations, of all tongues, and of all interests. Jesus is come for the Gentiles. And the Father refers to the Lord Jesus as my servant. And of course, the Lord Jesus came down from heaven as the servant of the Father, to do the Father's will, to live the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died. And there at the cross, he settled the whole account. Now, some people have difficulty understanding this language of Isaiah when he refers to Jesus as the Father's servant. Well, the wonderful thing is that in Matthew 12:18, you have an exact citation of these verses. And we see that this is definitely the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he is God's promised Savior, and he is the Redeemer of the world. Now, this term servant is used in the book of Isaiah over and over, even in that famous passage of the Isaiah 53:11, where it talks about my servant will bear their iniquities. And so on the cross, the Lord Jesus was acting as the servant of the Father, bearing the sins of his people, that they might be delivered from the curse. And in all of that, Jesus was acting in obedience to the Father. And it is through the obedience of the Lord Jesus that we are so marvelously saved. And so here we have the who of our salvation. Now, we have also in this why. Why did the Lord Jesus do this? Well, in verse 8, we read that it is for the Father's glory. I am the Lord. And it's an uppercase L-O-R-D referring to Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And the death, the life of the Lord Jesus, redeeming his people, is for the Father's glory. And this is the marvel of our redemption, the marvel of the salvation that we enjoy. Now, what is the Lord Jesus to do? Well, we find here that he will be gentle. In verse 2 of Isaiah 42, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And here is one of the blessed characteristics of our Lord Jesus. He is gentle. Now, this is the language of the lamp that is almost going out, and it is smoldering. The glow is gone, and the smoke is twirling around, and it is soon to be gone out. But even with such people, the Lord Jesus is very gentle, and in his ministry on earth, he displayed such compassion. And we know that there was tremendous deep pity and compassion in the heart of the Lord Jesus. And for sinners, that is so important, because we're broken. We are failures. We have sinned against God and are guilty. And we need a Savior who takes pity upon us, who will not upbraid us for our failures and our sins, but will in his grace hear that confession of sin and will pardon. When we forsake sin and cry for pardon, the Lord takes delight in mercy. He will not always chide. He is quick to bless and slow to wrath. And the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who loves the sheep. And that is one of the wonderful characteristics of the Lord Jesus. Another is that he will be just. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And the Lord has but one standard, and that is absolute truth. And Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is our only hope. The Lord will work to set us free from every false way, from every false accusation. But all our sins must be confessed in honesty. The gospel brings sinners into an honest reckoning with God. Every sin must go beneath the cleansing flow. And you must own up to your failure, to your sin, to your need of cleansing, and the Lord will have great mercy. And we need to understand that the death or the sacrifice of Christ is not an excuse for sin. It was full expiation, a putting away of sin. Sin's account needs to be settled. God's law needs to be satisfied. Justification is a declaration of our right standing with God. The final thing is, he will be successful, not feel nor be discouraged. I hope today that you are not discouraged, but that you will look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, my Savior, the Savior of every born-again Christian. Look to him. He will save you too. And now we have another hymn by Alan McGill. What a wonderful voice, what a wonderful message and song.
We may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power. And someday I'll thank him face to face in glory, when with all the millions at his feet I fall, and through countless ages there I'll live rejoicing, sing forever at the wonder of it all. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine.
Alan McGill singing, This Love Is Mine. I can personally testify that I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I can testify that I love him, but I know that he first loved me. It is to enjoy the deep, deep love of Jesus that makes the Christian life so worth living. We as believers in the gospel are not just following historical facts and theoretical diatribes of information. We are consumed, we are bought over by the love of the Lord Jesus, that God, the God of all creation and the universe, should set his love upon us and then send his Son to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved. It is immeasurable love. It is unfathomable. And we cannot express the gratitude, the wonder of it, to know that we have the love of Jesus. I wonder today, will you enter into the promises, the assurances of the gospel to enjoy the love of Jesus in your heart, in your soul? Let's pray together for that. Dear Father, we thank thee for your infinite love, that thou art love. Thou art love from beginning to end. This is who you are and what you are, a God of love. And I praise thee for the love of God expressed in sending your Son, that this world in its lost, guilty condition, that you had a plan to redeem, to save sinners, and to bring us one day to glory, washed in the blood, saved by grace, clothed in the beautiful righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And I take delight in that, and I pray, dear Father, that you will bestow this blessing upon every listener today, that they will enjoy the deep, deep love of Jesus. Even in these times of fear, come in, Lord, breathe your love into every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email, let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.